here's a story from The World.
Atoning for the past. The Jesuits are trying to do that with a landmark agreement announced this week to recognize the role they played in the dehumanizing practice of slavery. The well-known Order of Catholic Priests is pledging to raise $100 million for the descendants of enslaved people who were once owned and sold by the religious order. The Jesuits say it's just a start. The ultimate goal is to raise $1 billion to improve the lives of future generations and to fund a process of truth and reconciliation. Here's The World's Rupa Shenoy with a backstory of how this agreement came about.
5 years ago, Joe Stewart says he didn't know where his ancestors were from. Then he read a story in the New York Times. It said that in 1838, a group of Jesuits saved Georgetown University from financial collapse by selling 272 enslaved men, women, and children to plantation owners in Louisiana. A few generations later, that was where Stewart grew up.
And for the first time in our lives, we knew where we came from. Those of us who were two and three generations down from the original sale.
Stewart, who served as an altar boy, is one of more than 1,000 descendants of an enslaved man named Isaac Hawkins.
You can imagine how I felt when I found out that the church I attended was the church who enslaved my ancestors.
He and 9 other descendants gathered on a Sunday afternoon. They decided not to seek money for themselves. Instead, they wanted to improve the lives of future descendants. They wrote a petition to the Vatican asking for support. The leader of the Jesuit Society responded, welcoming a dialogue and acknowledging that Jesuits had sinned against God by betraying the descendants' ancestors.
That letter copied a Jesuit by the name of Father Timothy Kosicki.
And it was a month after he received that letter that he called me and invited me to his home in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Father Timothy Kosicki is president of the Jesuit Conference of Canada and the U.S.
I flew to his home, and as soon as I walked in the door, he and his wife, Clara, stood there with a container of holy water and asked me to bless their home.
Kosicki says it was the beginning of a process that taught him how much stronger faith is than any institution. He had to confront a painful reality. At one point, the Society of Jesus enslaved an estimated 20,000 people. Yet Kosicki says that history was not well known within the order.
No one had done this before. This was, to my knowledge, the first engagement of the descendants of the enslaved with the descendants of the enslavers. And it was these descendant leaders, Joe Stewart in particular, who had a vision. And instead of saying, look at what you did to my ancestors, said, understand what you did to my ancestors. But now we want to partner with you in something new.
And then together they came and sat down at the table with myself and my team and requested this support.
Lejeune Montgomery Tebron is president and CEO of the Kellogg Foundation. She helped lead the Jesuits and descendants through a process of mediated healing circles.
We brought two stories, both the Jesuit story and the story of the descendants, together, and we built a shared story.
That's how they came to the agreement announced this week. The Jesuits are pledging to donate $100 million to the newly created Descendants Truth and Reconciliation Foundation. It's a partnership between descendants and Jesuits that'll give scholarships to future descendants and support programs aimed at racial healing. Tebron is one of its trustees.
Now we will be in a phase of trying to build a legacy that changes the narrative of this horrible sin to a very positive legacy that is about uplifting lives.
The foundation doesn't call what it's doing reparations, since it's not going to make direct payments to individuals. But as many institutions examine their ties to slavery, this initiative is possibly the most significant to be announced, certainly by the Catholic Church. Susie Pock is an associate history professor at the Catholic St. John's University in New York. She's examining its ties to slavery.
They are, you know, setting a precedent. And that, I think, is quite significant. What's going to come out of it, I'm not really sure.
There has been criticism since the announcement. Some say more descendants should have been included in the decision-making. Others worry the foundation is underestimating the value of the wealth accrued through the enslavement of African Americans. Still others believe that the initiative should confront slavery's ongoing legacy of white privilege. Jim Bretsky is a professor of theology at the Jesuit John Carroll University in Ohio.
This is a real sea change, but as a white person, we have to do more strategically and more energetically than we have in the past.
The two men who have led this whole process don't pretend it was easy. Father Timothy Kosecki says there's been plenty of anger and tears.
There's been a lot of come to Jesus moments, as we tend to call them, that have just been brutal, raw, and painful. I don't deny that. But that's rooted in how are we going to get to the future?
That was an approach that came out of respect for their ancestors, says Joe Stewart, who's now acting president of the Descendants Truth and Reconciliation Foundation.
There were times that we got mad as hell, and we were not afraid to express that. The difference is you don't wallow in that. You look for the positive thing that can help you move forward toward a bigger goal. And our goal is to heal.
Their ancestors had the sheer tenacity to endure and survive, he says, and so must they. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.